Welcome to Dog Training Disrupted by Upward Dogology, where I retrain your brain and introduce you to the world of cognitive behavioral therapy for dogs over the age of 6 months. Do you often read and hear advice to address a specific behavior, only to learn it is effective with one dog and then not another dog? Why is this? Mainstream methods focus on the behavior, not the reason for the behavior. In this episode, I use the example of a dog growling at another dog and provide four different scenarios. In each scenario, the dog growled for a different reason. To develop a successful program, we need to establish cognitive exercises that act as the platform, and these exercises vary depending on the reason for the behavior. As a pet parent, you will find the information in this episode helpful in seeing your dog's behavior in a different light and to better understand your dog. As a professional, if you're interested in working with dogs over 6 months of age, taking a holistic approach that recognizes thought patterns, emotions, cognition, and intelligence, this episode provides an introduction to why the reason for the behavior is an important factor in developing a successful program. At the end of the episode, I share some exciting news, in particular for those of you who are or want to be involved in canine welfare, behavior, or other volunteer work or professional work with dogs. Hello, I'm Billy Groom, canine psychotherapist and expert in canine cognitive behavioral therapy. Thank you for joining me. There are many effective approaches to addressing behaviors. To choose the best approach, we need to gather and analyze information. So this is important because with CCBT and psychotherapeutic methods, we analyze, not assess. So assessing is taking information at face value right there and then making assumptions based on what's happening with the behavior, whereas analyzing, we gather lots of information and we break down that information and then we gather it all together, analyze it, and from there we create platform exercises, begin programs, start working together, and continue to analyze and reanalyze information and changes as we work through the program. When dogs do behaviors, it's common to assess the behavior. So with canine CBT, like I just said, we analyze, not assess. And then we can determine the reason for the behavior. And by reason for behavior, for example, I'm not talking about the dog was previously abused or there was lack of socialization. By reason, I'm referring to the dog's goal. That goal that the dog had when they did that behavior in that moment. That goal is based on thought processes. That dog decides to do that behavior to achieve a goal. And this is what we think about. I should say that as I'm talking about these different scenarios and the different goals and the different reason, I'm not going to include physical ailments, but it is important to ensure that your dog isn't, feeling physical pain, which might be a reason for the behavior. But because this is a show on psychotherapeutic methods, I'm not a veterinarian. But yes, I strongly recommend finding out if there's any physical ailments. So to accurately determine the reason for behaviors, we source information as we have it in the present time. One of the principles of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy for humans or all species, is that it works in the present, meaning the goal and thought process determining behaviors in the moment is what is important. This does not mean that we do not take a holistic approach and that we don't look at other factors affecting disposition, personality, and behavior. We do. Additionally, you may recall me repeatedly saying that CCBT, canine cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as CBT, does not address behaviors in the moment they are occurring. So we can use the information in the moment to analyze the behavior and to determine thought processes and goals. But when we're establishing exercises and a program, the exercises and the program are not occurring in the moment that the behavior occurs. We actually work 95% of the time when the behavior is not occurring. So there's a difference between taking the information in the moment that it's occurring versus applying the program at other times. So the reason for the behavior is determined by analyzing the goal and thought process as they happen in the moment. And that allows us to develop the platform exercises that align with the reason for the behavior. What I want to talk about just quickly, and it seems so obvious, the goal. What is a goal? A goal is simply something that we hope to achieve. Sounds really basic, but important to keep that in mind. Thought processes. In psychology, these are termed cognitive processes, essentially the way in which our mind works. Allows us to comprehend, focus, process, form opinions, make decisions. Based on the goal, dogs will formulate actions, either consciously or subconsciously, based on various factors. And those decisions are made with the intention of achieving that goal. Analyzing behaviors consists of dissecting information. We gather this information from multiple sources. In this episode, we are gathering the information from the pet parent in the scenarios that I'm creating, and the pet parent is named Vicky. So I provide four different scenarios, and these are determined by information that we learned from Vicky. The scenarios result in different reasons for behavior because the goal is different and the thought process is different, even though the situation and the behavior is the same. So here's the situation and the behavior. We have Pepe. Pepe is a little dog, and he is sitting on Vicky's lap. Another dog, a medium-sized dog named Joey, approaches, and Pepe growls. That information remains constant in all the scenarios. Off the top, Pepe may be assessed as unpredictable, protective, fearful, or reactive. That's an assessment based on the behavior, but that's not analyzing the behavior. All we know is that he growled. So it really tells us nothing. Those assessments are based strictly on the behavior. What we can safely determine was that Pepe's goal was to keep Joey away. Yes, I think we can safely say that. Growling is commonly to do that. Pepe felt the need to do that behavior to achieve that goal. So Pepe had the emotion, the thought process of wanting to keep Joey away. Pepe processed the situation, that's cognition, and made that decision. So that's important. The reason for the thought process and goal is undetermined at this point, but we can acquire that information from Vicky to help us determine the approach we take. There are many right approaches, but the method or the technique or the approach must align with the reason or for the behavior. So let's take scenario one. In scenario one, Vicky has had Joey for a long time. Joey's the dog that approached, the medium-sized dog that approached. Pepe, on the other hand, is newly adopted and is quite clingy to Vicky. We learn from Vicky the dogs like each other. They play a lot. We learn that Joey is good with humans and that Pepe likes dogs on walks. So this information, we can determine Pepe's goal was to maintain his happiness. Yes, that was his goal, to maintain his happiness. He perceived, either accurately or not, that Joey's presence would result in him getting patted less or being removed from Vicky's lap. That could be learned behavior. It could be from this home or from another home, or it just could have been simply his assumption that that was going to occur. Or maybe Vicky did something to give him that impression, such as stop patting him to reach out to Joey. Perhaps she had no intention of removing Pepe from her lap, but he perceived that she did. If we approach this by removing Pepe from the lap, which would be a reaction to that, a form of operant conditioning, then it often escalates the behavior because Pepe will view Joey as managing that situation and being able to control what happens to him, and that will annoy him. If Pepe is corrected, or we focus on teaching him that growling is wrong, he'll feel as though we don't understand what's important to him or what his goal is. It's also interesting that we should take into account that Pepe likes dogs on walks. He allows dogs to come up to him and Joey and Vicky. And this is important because he's not worried about Vicky. He's not worried about what other dogs are going to do. He considers dogs on a walk as adding to his happiness. increasing his happiness. He likes to see dogs on walks, so he doesn't growl at them. So this is important. In the situation where Joey approached, he perceived Joey as disrupting his happiness in that situation. So in this case, we need to change Peppy's perception of needing to manage the situation to maintain his happiness. The reason for the behavior is Peppy's perception that Vicky cannot or will not manage the system, the situation, or manage Joey's behavior in a way that works for him. The exercises we establish change Peppy's perception of Vicky's ability to calmly manage all situations. Like I said before, we don't only work in the situation that it's happening, and that it shows that Vicky is well aware of what's important to Peppy. The cognitive exercise focus on the relationship between Peppy and Vicky and Peppy's perception of Vicky. They have nothing to do with the growling or with Joey. So, scenario two, same situation. Peppy's on the lap, Joey approaches. In scenario two, Joey is the newly adopted dog. Peppy has been with Vicky since he was a puppy. Peppy is not aggressive by nature to dogs or to humans, and Peppy and Joey commonly get along well. We learn that Joey has been aggressive to Vicky before, and that in Vicky's opinion, that aggression has made Peppy uncomfortable. Remember, Peppy's been with Vicky since a puppy in this scenario too. Based on this information, we can determine that Peppy believed Joey was going to cause harm to Vicky, which may or may not be true. Peppy also believed, probably due to previous experiences, that Vicky is challenged in managing, calmly managing these situations when Joey is defiant or aggressive, or managing situations in a way that work for Joey. And because of that, it leads to Joey being aggressive. And that makes Peppy uncomfortable. This now commonly is assessed as Peppy protecting his mom. If Peppy is corrected, it will increase his anxiety. He will feel that Vicky does not understand the gravity of the situation. Fair enough. So now the approach we take has nothing to do with the relationship between Peppy and Vicky, or to do with Peppy's behavior. We now switch the focus completely to Joey. We determine his reasoning for aggression, his goals, his thought processes. We apply foundational cognitive exercises to increase the bond, improve Vicky's ability to communicate and calmly manage situations with Joey. Then inherently in this process, Peppy sees, like he literally sees and processes the change in dynamic between Joey and Vicky. In doing so, we remove or eliminate Peppy's self-perceived need to keep Joey away from his mom or to manage those situations, because he sees his mom doing it. His perception, his thought patterns, his emotions regarding the dynamics between his mom and Joey change, and that in turn changes his behavior. And of course, in the process, we adjust Joey's aggression. Scenario three. So again, Peppy's on the lap and Joey's approaching and Peppy growls. So in scenario three, we learn from Vicky that Peppy is Vicky's dog and Joey is her new partner's dog, and they just moved in together. We also learned that the dogs have not got along in the past when they weren't living together, but they were meeting because they were a couple, and that they have fought before. So Vicky and her partner have been relying on coping mechanisms to prevent the situations from happening. It's a challenging way to live, especially because now they're going to be moving in together. So they tried using treats and positive reinforcements and rewards to get them to like each other, but that didn't have a lot of success. So on a side note, in some cases that approach may have been successful. In many cases, that approach of using positive reinforcement would heighten the aggression. Any approaches that indicate to the dog that the intent is for them to like each other, that the goal of the human is for them to like each other, even if it's done positively, this can heighten the aggression or heighten their discomfort, which leads to heightened aggression. In other words, they're saying, stop trying to make us like each other. The goal should not be for the dogs to get them to like each other initially, but rather to let them know that they don't have to like each other and they don't need to be aggressive or defensive to remain safe, and for that to be okay. They can be in the same place and not like each other. The cognitive exercises applied to each dog in a manner that suits each dog shows them that the other dog is also listening and is also on that same page, and that Vicky and her partner equally have calm manageability over the dogs and the situations, that the dogs don't need to be on guard. The cognitive exercises also provide both dogs with the ability to read, process, and make decisions without reacting. Essentially, they can process Vicky, the situation, and each other before making a decision on how to react. This processing changes perception of the need to self-protect or manage the situation. So we're going to be establishing exercises in other situations that increase processing. The goal is not to change the perception of the other dog. They can still dislike each other. So that's very different than other methods, where the goal or the intent of those methods is to change the dog's perception of each other. Having said that, it's common for these dogs to rethink their perception of the other dog as we go through this process and as their dynamics change. But this change in perception was self-induced, meaning they made that decision on their own. It didn't have anything to do with a reward, or it didn't have anything to do with an associative element. Scenario 4. This one is a little bit of a twist on scenario 1 and 3. So it's not totally dissimilar, but it is a little bit similar. So the same situation with Pepe on Vicky's lap, and that Pepe is Vicky's dog and Joey is her partner's dog. The difference is Joey and her partner moved in to Vicky's home with Pepe there. So we learn from Vicky that Pepe and Joey get along for the most part in this scenario, but Pepe will, unpredictably, growl at Joey even when Joey is not doing anything. Pepe tends to growl when Joey walks by or gets excited or tries to come near Vicky. These are correlative behaviors. They're often described as unpredictable, but they're actually quite predictable. Pepe's perception of what Joey is going to do, what his intentions are, is what matters here. Perception is reality, right? Vicky knows Joey is not intending on doing what Pepe thinks he's going to do, or if he does, it's not going to result in anything horrible for Pepe. Thus, Pepe's behavior appears irrational or unpredictable or for no reason. Pepe doesn't dislike Joey, but rather he dislikes what he thinks Joey is going to do or is doing, just walking towards them. He likes Joey's play style and understands that Joey, you know, gets his own food or sleeps on Vicky's partner's lap, who is Joey's person. But this doesn't mean that Pepe is comfortable with everything that Joey does. This may be because Joey is doing something Pepe feels is maybe perhaps against house rules, since they come from different homes, or perhaps Joey is doing something a different dog in the past has done that had a poor outcome. He could just be managing. He could be the fun police. There could be a number of reasons, but he feels that he needs to manage that behavior. On another side note, if you want to think of it this way, it sort of explains why dogs will take a treat from a human, but then react negatively later to that human. It's because the dog likes treats. The dog likes people giving treats. So what that human is doing in that moment is good, but it doesn't mean that the dog likes the person or likes everything that that person does. Just because people, for example, that he likes can walk in the house doesn't mean that anyone can do that. Even if he previously took a treat from a person, it doesn't mean that they can necessarily do something like suddenly walk in the house. So this is a little bit of a different topic, but it's the idea that Pepe doesn't dislike Joey, just dislikes what Joey is doing in that moment, or is unable to read it or unable to process it, or is assuming that he's going to do something that will not result in what makes him comfortable or what he wants to happen. So in this situation, Pepe's goal is to manage Joey's behavior and possibly teach him right from wrong. Probably Joey's behavior is causing Pepe a little bit of anxiety or discomfort. So we would build exercise that increase processing of situations that are not exactly how Pepe would expect them to go. And again, we do that outside of this particular situation. We do that not in a comforting situation or uncomfortable situation or high anxiety situation. We practice the brain resetting and being okay with things being out of sorts or out of routine or not as he expects at different times. If he is a creature of habit, we practice the brain resetting and processing during habits and routines to allow for change. These exercises harness cognitive skills and allow for processing and induced decision making. They do not simply rely on desensitization toward change simply by changing situations or routines or the environment repeatedly. We actually induce processing. The reason for the behavior based on goal and thought patterns determined by perception and emotions, they must correlate with the reason for the behavior. The initial cognitive exercises must correlate with the reason for the behavior. The exercises may be similar and they could overlap. They could have slight differences. It's really important that what we're practicing in the dog's brain correlates with the thought patterns that lead to the behavior. The good news is that we don't always need to know the goal or the thought processes to move forward and apply canine CBT. In fact, discovering or learning these is part of the process, and this develops as we work our way through the program. This process is not simply observation, although observing behavior is beneficial and recommended, and we can learn from that, but the process implements proactive, action-oriented exercises that allow the dog to tell us how he or she feels, but we always continue to learn and to adapt and creatively apply exercises as we work through the program. That is the beauty of CCBT. It's not challenging, but it does require knowing the concepts and principles of the methodology, just like any method. We need to know those. My neighbor's dog is barking, if you can hear. I'm going to move on to the good news here. I am launching a course teaching my method. I'm teaching canine cognitive behavioral therapy, among other courses that are geared towards rescue organizations and fosters. So if you have an interest in increasing your education and knowledge to benefit your professional goals or personal activities, I'm confident you will find this program beneficial. Please sign up to my email list. That link is on my website, www.upperdogology.com. Feel free to reach out for more information. Please follow me on LinkedIn. That's Billy Groom. And Facebook is Upward Dogology. I'd like to thank the Jeff Mertek Band for the music. Thank you so much for staying tuned and enjoy your learning journey. Holding up the train on the rails in his life. He's careening almost off the track. Nothing but to let my whistle wail.